Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we try to help you be a little bit smarter in a variety of different ways. I welcome you. I'm Les Wolf, the CEO of Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia and host of the show. Before we go much further, I'd like you to remember, if you haven't listened, if you've listened to the show in the past, and if you haven't, be aware of some of the things that we have available for you. We have four LinkedIn groups: Smart Marketing for Small Business, Celebrities for Marketing, Fearless Marketers, and Creative Thinkers Forum. And the whole purpose of these LinkedIn groups is to create discussions and find ways that you can interact with others, widen your circle of experts that you can tap into. So keep those in mind, the LinkedIn groups. We also have a blog, smartmarketingmoves.com. Our website is Smart Marketing Group. And our email is marketingsmartly@aol.com. So the premise is we're here to help. And one of the things on the email address, marketingsmartly@aol.com, is we encourage you that if you have a subject or topic that you'd like us to cover, if you have something you'd like to tell us about that we can share with others, if you would like to be a guest one day on the show because you have an expertise or a story that you think would be beneficial to the small business marketer, please keep in mind, marketingsmartly@aol.com. We'd love to hear from you. All right, what we're going to talk about tonight is what makes you smarter than your competition. Well, I just came back from a meeting in a series of meetings in New York today. And in my way up, I take a bus up to New York, got into a conversation with a gentleman who is working for a startup technology company, and I'd say he's probably in his late 20s. And the conversation followed a lot of what I've been running into lately, and that is the lack of people understanding what you have to do in order to get people to do things and help you operate on a smarter basis than your competition. And some of it is based on what I call interpersonal and communication skills. So I'd like to cover some of the basics tonight on those subjects and get you thinking. So get your notepad out, your iPad out, whatever, because we're going to cover a whole range of subjects. All right. Let's start with the world of interpersonal skills. Now, interpersonal skills, you know, I don't remember the exact quote that Albert Einstein stated, but he basically inferred that technology is going to create a dumb world. Well, smartphones have increased the level of dumbness when it comes to the ability to communicate, especially among young people. Biggest complaints I hear are interpersonal skills lacking, conversational skills lacking, communication skills lacking, because you have to learn how to talk to people. If you want to be a leader one day, it's not how many emails you send, but it's what you do with the language that you have so that you can communicate in an effective manner that gets people wanting to work with you. So let's talk about interpersonal skills. One of the things which we'll cover in a little more detail later, but is number one is good communication skills. Now, good communication skills, you need those in every job. You know, writing, is optional on a resume, but it's an important skill in getting you a job. If you're unable to communicate to better, you know, in better ways with the interviewers, you may not lose. You may lose the chance of getting the job, even though you own the necessary skills. But that's also another point. when you communicate with people, you try to communicate from their perspective. It doesn't have to always be a job hiring situation. It is very true in the marketing area. It's one thing to tout the features that you have. It touts the wonders of your business. But what is the person you're talking to most interested in? Themselves. What are the benefits that you deliver to them? So interpersonal skills, you need to communicate from the perspective of the person that you're talking about. Also, there's a wonderful thing, and we'll talk a little bit about asking questions later. But one of the things, when you do ask a question, are you a good listener? Listening skills are very, very important. You need to be a good listener. You know, your effective listening skills show your level of concentration, but they also show to that person your interest. There's a tendency for many of us when we're in a conversation to make a statement, what have you, and someone responds to it, but we're so busy thinking of what we're going to say next, we don't hear what people have to say. Now, so if we go back to that famous quote, God gave you one mouth and two ears. Now, what do you think you're supposed to do with them? Less talking, more listening. Also, you need to be flexible and adaptable. You know, your flexibility and adaptability shows your versatility of working under almost any environment. You know, this skill of flexibility and adaptability shows your ability to adapt to the changing working conditions and the work assignments and the marketing scenarios. It deals with the openness to new ideas and concepts, working independently or as part of a team to work on multiple tasks. It is so important to be open to change, because change is a constant. And to do that, you need to be flexible and adaptable. So you need to keep that in mind. All right, another thing, and this is something I find very important that people don't do enough of. Do you show people that you're appreciative? Everyone likes to hear something good about them. You know, you can keep the appreciative attitude towards others in a way that this is going to help keep your working environment cheerful, your interaction with customers cheerful. You know, this is just something that is so important, to be appreciative. You know, there's a lesson I learned, something I ran across, it must be 35 years ago. Went to a service at a Unitarian church, and they had a program on the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Every major religion in the world has its version of that. Be an essence of a business. How you deal with your customers, how you deal with your employees, how you deal with your vendors, anybody you have interaction in, do you treat them in a way that you want to be treated? It makes a world of difference. And you see that in a lot of customer service scenarios where it's amazing that people can't even be polite. They don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to answer with a smile on their face. So it is key. Also, another characteristic of good interpersonal skills is attentiveness. You know, you always should try to stay attentive, not only about your surroundings, but attentive to what's going on in your business. I tell people, and I just got in this discussion the other day with some college students that we mentor is learn to absorb what you observe. Be attentive as to what's going on in the marketplace. Be attentive to what your competition is doing. Be attentive to what customers say, what customers ask for, what customers complain about, what customers compliment about. Be attentive to what employees' input is for you. Being attentive is just common sense. As you've often heard me say on the show, unfortunately, common sense is uncommon. All right, another aspect of interpersonal skills is problem solving. Now, this represents your attitude towards how do you solve problems. You know, do you have the ability to use your creativity, your reasoning, and your past experience? And again, we're talking here not just from a marketing point of view, but your interaction with your employees, your interactions with your customers. You know, the key to it is, are you someone who really listens, pays attention, hears what problems someone has, what problems people have identified that need to be addressed, and then act on them? So, you know, when we're talking about communication, effective listening, being flexible and adaptable and appreciative, we need to be attentive and we need to be a problem solver. Then comes a thing, and this is another aspect of not just management skills, but your interpersonal skills, is decision-making. Many times you face a tough situation where you have to take some decision that may be helpful to some people and harmful to the other. You know, your decision-making skills helps people know what you are capable of and that you're capable of taking the appropriate action in favor of what is needed. But the key to decision-making skills, some people say, well, I'm not going to make a decision on that. Well, by not making a decision, you made a decision. Indecision is a decision. What actions you take reflect your decision-making capabilities. So you need to sharpen those decision-making capabilities, especially when you're interacting with others, so they know that when they're dealing with you, they're getting straight answers, they're getting honest opinion. They may not agree with you, but that's why you leave things open to discussion, open to communication. But it's so important to get these skills. And I talk about this because, as I mentioned, the discussion I had earlier with somebody in their 20s, they didn't understand the importance of interpersonal skills. They didn't understand the importance of things because everything through their eyes is what you do on the Internet. And the Internet has a lot of what I call intranet. Now, it's a very effective marketing tool, but the fundamentals of business, the fundamentals of management, they do not change just because the technology has changed. So you need to address those things. And then you need to build a team. You know, are you a team player? Are you able to build a team? Do you have the ability to work with others in a professional manner, you know, to achieve a common goal that you've all identified? You know, this is part of what I would call the next point, leadership qualities. You know, this is the ability of taking charge and managing what activity is going on, whether it is managing people, managing a marketing campaign, managing the resources that you turn to, for example, like an ad agency, PR agency, promotion agency, sales force, etc. And then comes one of my favorite things of all times, positive attitude. I had this discussion on that bus trip I was telling you about to New York today, and I ask this question often. There's positive attitude, there's negative attitude. Give me lists for me. In fact, you can email me if you have it at marketingsmartly@aol.com. What give me one benefit that comes from a negative attitude. I have been asking that question for decades, and I've yet to get an answer. Because the reality is, there isn't any. Positive attitude takes you through a lot of things. As you know, in business, in life, you have hills and valleys. Positive attitude helps you up those hills and helps you get over those valleys. And it motivates, it incentivizes, creates that team atmosphere. So interpersonal skills are something that are extremely important to work on. All right, let me stop for a moment. Let me go back to talking about some of the things that we offer to help you. I go back to the LinkedIn group. Let me take, for example, celebrities for marketing. Celebrities are an effective way to draw attention, give yourself a proprietary marketing platform, and set yourself aside from the competition. But the question comes up, which celebrity? What can you afford to do? How does it tie into your business? So these are things that you need to look at. We do that for you. We sit down and we analyze, how can a celebrity help you? Which celebrity can help you? What fits into your budget range? And what will give you that proprietary marketing platform? All right, so that's one LinkedIn group and one service we offer. Another thing to look at is the Creative Thinkers Forum. And what the Creative Thinkers Forum is based on, what may sound like a cynical comment, but most people don't think. They tend to react to what's going on in the marketplace rather than being proactive. And one of the things we try to help clients do is be creative. Think outside the box. And it isn't that difficult. It's like in an article I wrote recently, and it's a very simple thing. Are you a mimic marketer? Do you replicate, duplicate, imitate rather than originate? And the truth is, most do. And why do most do? Why do most people mimic? Well, I decided I would ask that question in a couple of LinkedIn marketing groups. Got several hundred responses from around the world. But it came down, I basically asked, why is it that people can't think outside the box, management can't think outside the box? And one woman executive, she got the answer in one word, even though others, most, I would say 95% of the others who responded, as I said, there were several hundred, had the same basic answer, but she put it in one word, fear. People are afraid. Many marketers are scared of breaking the mold of what others are doing. You know, they like to follow the crowd, except when you follow the crowd does not follow you. So the key to it is what I call Wolf's Rule of Business Opportunity. Examine the people in your field, because I don't care what field you're in. The odds are almost everybody in that field tends to operate the same as everyone else. And if you identify the similarities and the sameness factors, you will always identify and find untapped, unfulfilled, overlooked opportunities. Now, this is just common sense. The LinkedIn group Fearless Marketers is based on a simple concept. Are you fearless? Are you willing to break the mold? Are you willing to be a bit of a risk taker? Now, if you look at businesses that have been successful, it's because they found a void out there, a niche. They were willing to take a risk. But, you know, that taking a risk, there's also another thing you have to do. As a fearless marketer, you also have to be constantly challenging your way of thinking. You cannot sit there and say, oh, okay, I've built a big successful business. I can now ride easier along the highway of success. Except that highway of success becomes a mountainslide of disaster. Just look at Radio Shack, Blockbuster. Just so many people out there who did not change with the marketplace or did not understand the potential of what they had. One of my favorite stories is I like to ask people who discovered the invented the personal computer. It was Xerox. But they couldn't, and they're Palo Alto Live, but they couldn't convince their management what they had was worth anything. But they invited in a number of people to look at it, and two of them were Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, who sold the opportunities. So it is key, you know, to be out there and thinking creatively. And then the last is our smart marketing for small business. That is where we are constantly trying to give you basic ideas to help. And one of those things is how do you improve what I call workplace communications? And these are good not just in the workplace, but in, well, let me say this way, in the workplace, also in the interaction with customers. You know, one is to be clear and direct. Be certain that, you know, the information you need to convey, you know, whether it's spoken or written, is clear and directly communicated. You know, you got to use language that is specific and unambiguous. You know, check that the receiver, whoever you're talking to, understands the message as you intended. You know, avoid acronyms when there is a chance that they will be unclear. As I said earlier, actively listen. This is very important. The key to it, becoming an active listener means you make a conscious effort to truly hear what the other person is saying in their words as well as their body language. That goes for employees, customers, anybody you interact with. You know, practice holding off thinking about how to respond or interrupting until you have thoroughly heard what they are saying. It's as I stated before, it comes, you know, as no surprise that the best communicators are also the best listeners. Sometimes to make a point, you may want to look at paraphrasing. The goal of paraphrasing is to assure that you are clear about what has been said and let the speaker know that you care about what he or she is communicating. You know, both are equally important in effective communication. You know, use a variation on what I hear you saying is to accomplish this. I just had that discussion with my children, who are not little anymore. And I said, it's one thing to talk to each other, but at the same time, because sometimes the emotion is high, learn how to write to each other so that you can look at this, absorb it, and you're not in that situation where you're talking, someone is talking to you, and you know your brother or sister are talking to you, and you're so anxious to respond to them, you haven't really listened to what they said. Same thing happens in business. We have to be clear. We have to be user-friendly. We have to do whatever we can to make it easy for people to communicate to us. We must make it easy for people to understand what we are communicating to them. And a lot of this is when, you know, when you have difficult information to convey or complex information or something that could result in many questions, you know, you're better off having a direct face-to-face conversation. You know, and one of the things that's very popular in business that I use a lot is Skype. Skype's form of video conferencing makes it very easy for me to have that face-to-face with someone, whether they're in St. Louis, London, Russia, wherever it may be. You can communicate with them very effectively. And that face-to-face is very important. You know, you'll also have the huge benefit of what I call nonverbal communication cues, including your tone of voice, your facial expression, another body language to get your message over. Then comes something which is so common sense oriented, but I am absolutely amazed how many people don't follow through on this. And this is in particular among what I call the millennials, but it covers most demographics, but it's really very key. That is, be respectful. You know, this means taking the other person's name and looking them in the eye. Whether, again, whether it's an employee, a customer, a vendor, and, you know, nodding to aid in demonstrating you understand what you're saying. You need to communicate, you know, if you're communicating in writing, reread something before you send your message out to ensure that it won't be misconstrued. And that's the same in copywriting. You want to be clear. Email. It used to be that we considered junk mail if we got 10 letters a week that really didn't relate to what our interests were. I delete a minimum of 300 emails a day, and many people I know delete as many as 1,000 a day. So you have to learn how to communicate effectively in order to get people to pay attention. And in emails in particular, it's that address bar. What have you done to spark the curiosity, to somehow feel that they can benefit by reading more? So you need to get that message out, you know, the message in the medium. You know, some of us are better communicating in writing and some are better at speaking. You know, some are better at reading information, some at listening to information. You know, it depends on the message being delivered and received. So when you need to deliver it, you look at the options that you have. And in the world of technology today, and the Internet in particular, it's very important that your message is very, very clear. And again, as in copywriting, any communication that you have, you try to tailor it, the conversation, to the audience. You know, communicating is key from the perspective of the person that you're reaching out to. So if a customer or a supplier calls with a problem, listen carefully, apologize if necessary, even if it wasn't your fault, and then offer a solution. And I talk about texting. Now, more and more of our workplace communication is done via email, voicemail, text messaging. And there are obviously advantages and disadvantages to each of these, depending on the message and the audience. Texting can be especially effective when a quick question or answer is required without further explanation or requiring a follow-up. But don't text when it cannot effectively communicate your message. And when that message comes out, you need to make the most of that message. Make sure it gets through there. And again, as we said before, stay positive. All right, before we close up, I want to remind you about our four LinkedIn groups, Smart Marketing for Small Business, Creative Thinkers Forum, Fearless Marketers, Celebrities for Marketing, our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, our website, Smart Marketing Group, our email, marketingsmartly@aol.com. And you may want to check into, when you go up to our blog or our website, our program of advisory time blocks. This is a program developed for those who want help on marketing issues and concerns but don't want to get into a retainer relationship. You simply can buy and acquire blocks of time, be it an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, not all to be used at one time, but good for a year. So if you've got a question, a phone call, an email, what have you, you get a quick response. So think about that. Think about being a smart marketer. Think about smart thinking. And thank you very much for listening. And we hope that you'll spread the word about this show, Smart Marketing for Small Business, to as many small business people that you know out there or would-be entrepreneurs. Because this show is designed to help you work smarter by having you help us help people be smarter. Take care.